Welcome to Grace Point. I'm Pastor Joel, and I am privileged to serve here as your lead pastor. And today, as we're close to Independence Day, I was reminded of the Founding Fathers. You know, I lived just outside of downtown Philadelphia for a number of years there. And in the city, there is so much history. From the Liberty Bell to Betsy Ross's house to Christ Church to Ben Franklin's house, and my own personal favorite spot was Independence Hall, and specifically the signing room. By the end of my time there, I got so good at walking through the historic district. I had my own little tours, is what it felt like. Every time friends or family would come to visit, they would always say, hey, can we go see the Liberty Bell? Or, hey, let's go downtown. Like, I know there's a ton of history there. And so I would walk the same path over and over and over again. Eventually, I figured it out that I should just start charging money for this tour that I would bring people on. Every single chance that I got to go, I would always make sure to stop at Independence Hall. It was amazing to see this birthplace of our country, to see the very location where our Declaration of Independence was signed and adopted and drafted. And I remember one specific guide sharing the weight of what the men were doing in that room. It was a really life or death situation for them. They knew that independence, that this freedom from the king, was something worth dying for. And so what they did was that they would meet in secrecy. They would often dream together about what a great, amazing, free country would look like. They had a clear vision of what they wanted, and that's why they were willing to sign that document. They made it very clear that this was something that they all believed in. So much so that they were willing to risk their lives for it. And it was so inspiring to be in that room. It was honestly even a little intimidating at times. When I think of their devotion to the cause, it's undeniable that they fully believed in everything that they wrote on that document. They thought it was worth fighting for. And so as I've been thinking about that, I've been praying that as we observe Independence Day in just a couple of days, we would have a renewed devotion to the mission that God has given to us as a church. See, here at Grace Point, we know that we exist to offer the real hope of Jesus to the real people in our real community. And if you've been with us since February, we've actually been talking about those three words. What hope is, what real people is, like what does it mean to be real people, and how do we love each other in community, and how do we connect in our community all throughout our sermon series. We started first by studying the book of Colossians together, and we started and saw that our hope is rooted in God's faithfulness, which was evidenced through the gift of Jesus. Hope is alive and active in us, and it's this confidence that we have because God is and will continue to always be faithful. And what that means for us is that we're meant to share the real hope of Jesus. And when we talk about this word hope, I want to share with you really quick how we define it. What we mean by hope is looking expectantly with a certainty and confidence towards the future based on our faith in God in the present and His faithfulness in the past. See, one of the keys here about faith is that, or about hope is that it's not just wishful thinking, but our hope is rooted in God's faithfulness. See, when we typically use this word hope in normal conversation, it's more of the wishful thinking type, where there's an uncertainty to it. And so let me just give you an example. You know I often say, I hope that the Lions will finally do well. I hope they'll finally win it all. And this hope isn't really based in any certainty. See, I have absolutely no idea how they're actually going to perform this year. but I really desire for them to do well. When we talk about hope, though, in the sense of God and how our hope is in Him, we can be certain of that hope and have confidence because God has a proven track record of being faithful. And because God is faithful, God was faithful, we can have hope that He's going to continue to be faithful. And we can be hope-filled because of all that God has done. And there are a number of passages that talk about hope. And today I wanted to share with you a few of those passages. To start in the book of Hebrews, the author there shares about the new way of living and how this new way of following Jesus is better than the way of living and what they were used to. This book of Hebrews was written to people who grew up knowing the stories of God, knowing the stories of the ancestors of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, and hearing God's faithfulness all throughout those stories. But they didn't really understand the correlation of Jesus and where He came in. And they were so rooted in traditions and customs and rituals that they had to follow. However, the author shares that because of Jesus, there's now a new way. There's a better way of living that's available to them. How they can just go to God. They don't have to go through all of these sacrifices and do all of these things to earn His favor. God just pours out His favor on us. And the good news is all of that is still available for us today. And when talking about this new way of living, when talking about what does it mean to live this new life, the Hebrew author tells the people of hope. And using the story of Abraham, it shows the example of God's faithfulness all throughout Abraham's life. And we are told that because God is faithful, we can have hope. In Hebrews 6:19, I wanted to share this with you specifically, this verse. It says that this hope is a strong and it's a trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. I love this verse. The hope that we have in God and His faithfulness is an anchor for our soul. It leads us into this inner sanctuary, this place where God's presence is, and it meets us there. And the thing about hope, what I want us to really know, to understand is it's not based on you, it's not based on me, it's not based on what you've done or what I do, but it's all rooted in who God is, that God is faithful. And because God is the same yesterday, today, and He will be tomorrow, we can have a confidence in our hope. And it can ground us. It can anchor us the way that this verse says it does. That, to me, is incredibly freeing. That I don't have to do anything, or I don't have to get it always perfect. But I know that my hope isn't based on me, but it's based on God and what He's done for me, how He sent me Jesus, the one who died and rose again. And now because of that, because my faith is in Jesus, I'm forgiven from my sins. And this next verse is so powerful because it continues to talk about this new way of living, how once our faith is in Jesus, something happens to us. In 2 Corinthians 3:12, it says this. It says, since this new way gives us such confidence or such hope, we can then be very bold. It's because of our hope. It's because of God's faithfulness. It allows us to be bold, but bold in what way? What does that mean? What does it mean to be bold? We're meant to be bold in the way that we live. It means that we're called to be real people. We're called to be real people who love God with every part of our being, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind and strength. And it means that we're called to be real people who live the way that we're intended to. See, during our series called Being Human, We looked at all the things that we're called to be by God. And this isn't a checklist. This isn't something that you have to say, oh, I did this today, I did this today, I hit it, I did it all. No, it's not about that. But it's about living a life transformed, that we allow God to work in us so that we're transformed by Him and we look more like Jesus each and every day. And that means we're called to be people who are loving. We're called to be real people who are compassionate, who are generous, who are prayerful, who are worshipful, who are purpose-driven. And we are called to be people who live in and are surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit. So to sum it all up in just a few short words, we're to be people who allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, to produce in us the fruit of the Spirit. See, in Galatians 5, Paul writes to the church, and in verse 16 there in Galatians 5, he says, "Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives." And then Paul continues to talk about how the Holy Spirit and our flesh are always in conflict. You know, our flesh wants to do this evil, but the Spirit says do good, and there's conflict. But when we're surrendered to the Spirit, fruit is produced in us. And the evidence of God is alive and active in us then. And in Galatians 5:22, it says that the fruit then that is produced in us is love, it's joy, it's peace, patience, kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It says against these things there is no law. And so to be real people, for you and I to be real people, we're meant to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. We're meant to allow God to work in us, to chisel away the things that are not of Him, and then to produce in us what is of Him. This means that you and I are to grow together. We're meant to grow and pursue God constantly because that's what we're meant to do. It's not just a one and done type of deal, but growth is continual. Our growth is ongoing. We're meant to constantly and daily surrender to the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. We're meant to pursue Him each and every day and listen for that small voice that corrects us. The small voice of the Spirit that guides us and that leads us to be more like Jesus. You know, this may mean that we have to slow down, that we have to stop every once in a while to listen to His voice. And I wanted to say that growth is not always easy. Sometimes growth is really painful, but growth is necessary. Because when we grow more and more and more like Jesus, it actually increases our awareness of Him in our life and increases our presence of Him each and every day. And we start to hear that voice easier and easier and easier. And it becomes like second nature to us. And we then start to love others the way that Jesus loves us. And actually, that's what Jesus tells us. He says that we're meant to love others, that it's the second greatest command. See, in Matthew 22:37-39, Jesus says these words. He says, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. That's the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is equally important. It's to love your neighbor as yourself." See, we just talked about all of these things, that we're meant to be good neighbors. And for us as a church, that means we're called to be a real community. We're called to be a real community, and that starts with the communities that we live in. It means that we're meant to be places, that we're meant to be Jesus in the places that we live. The places that we work, the places that we go and have fun, the sports teams our kids are on. Everywhere that we go, we are meant to be like Jesus. You know, Jesus Himself actually tells the disciples. In John 13:35, He says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. So we're to love those around us. That means that we pray for them. It means that we get to know them, that we're not strangers, but we know their name, we know their story. It means we develop relationships. It means that we're present in times of need. It means that we weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those that rejoice. It means that we're kind, we're gentle, we're people who serve our neighbors, and we're people who love them and who love them well. See, God has called us to be a church that does all of these things because they matter. And when we love others well, it shows other people that there is a God that loves them too. It shows them that they too can then have a hope for when things get rocky, that because of who God is and because God is faithful, He doesn't waver in His faithfulness, that they can have an anchor for their soul, that their hope doesn't have to be just wishful thinking, but that they can be certain in times of uncertainty. And it shows that they too can experience the work, the transformative power of the Holy Spirit, and experience what it means to live life in this new way, this better way, one that is led and guided by the Holy Spirit. See, as I was thinking about the founding fathers, you know, they were so devoted to this mission of seeing the country be free. You know, I too have found myself praying that as a church, as people who belong to Grace Point, that we would be so devoted to our mission, that we're willing, no matter where we go, that we're willing to share the real hope of Jesus that we have ourselves to the very real people who are around us, so that they can be part of a real community that loves them and loves them well. And so as you celebrate Independence Day in a few days, I ask that you would take a minute and just pray. Pray that we would have a devotion as a church to the mission. Pray that no matter what we face, no matter what happens, we don't waver from what God has called us to. Why? Because people need to experience the real hope in our real community. And so I ask that you would join me in a word of prayer today. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for the hope that we can have in you, that because you are a faithful God, we can have confidence and we can be certain that you are faithful, that you're there, that you're present. And God, we ask that Holy Spirit would work in us and through us. God, that if there's anything in our life that isn't of you, would you remove it and replace it with the things that are of you? And God, would you help us to love our neighbors and to love them well, to be prayerful towards our neighbors, to be kind and generous, God, to love them, to be present. Lord, would you continue to give us as a church an unwavering devotion for the mission? Because we know that there are lost souls out there that need to come and know you. And God, you desire for them to be in a relationship with you. So Lord, help us to be the vessel that you use to connect others to you. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done and what you're going to continue to do. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.